Like I said, last week we started a part one series. Most specifically, we talked about aiming for your life purpose. It's powerful what he said the first video. You know, when I delight in him, then my purpose rises to the surface. Amen. See, I've come to know that when we're talking about the God-given purpose that God has given to us, it's not something that we find or we search for. It's something that we discover. We discover. And how we discover that is through our relationship with him. Amen. By feeding on the word, right? And by spending time with his presence. Amen. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay, as long as the word gets forward. But that is how we find our God-given purpose. And we talked about aiming, you know, I just want to recap some of the points that was made last week of aiming for your life purpose, right? And we talked about how can we hit the mark if we don't know what the target is, right? And to aim one's life on purpose, right, we must first understand the purpose for your aim. Yep. But the thing is, we do know that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. But what happens when we don't know what that plan and purpose is, right? In Jeremiah 29:11, I'm reading from the Amplified Version, and this is what the Lord says. He says, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." The Lord says, "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you." So God knows the plans that he has for you. But how can I know that plans that God knows for me? If he knows, then how do I know? Well, get to know him. Get to know the one who knows the plans for your life through feeding on the word or through prayer, what have you. Because when you get to know him, then you get to know what the plans for your life is. Right? Paul made this statement, the Apostle Paul, he says, "My predetermined purpose is to know him." My predetermined purpose is to know him, to know God. And you would think that writing 3/4 of the Bible, that you think that he would know, you know, God to that extent. But how many of you know, the more that you know about him, the more there is to know. And when you get there, there's more to know. Then there's more to know. You would spend a lifetime of eternity to know him. Amen. Because he's omnipotent. He's an eternal God. But he wants you to know that he has a plan for your life and a purpose. So the way we get to know that plan and purpose is to know him. And Paul's purpose, from what he tells us, is his predetermined purpose was to know him. Not to be a great preacher, but to know God. Amen. Not to just have a knowledge of God. Right? There's a lot of people who know about God, but they don't really know him to the extent where God wants us to know him. And he tells us that he knows the plans and the thoughts that he has for us. Amen. So we know that God has a plan for us. He has a plan and a purpose designed specifically for each one of us. But here's the thing. Whether you reach it or not, or discover it or not, how many of you know it's not up to God? It's not up to God. But But it's up to you and it's up to me to discover that. To discover that God-given purpose for each and every one of us. Amen. Jesus knew his purpose. Yeah, he knew his purpose. And I found, you know, I started thinking about this message. I was thinking about how did he know his purpose? Well, the Bible always said that he would always slip away and go to prayer. Yeah, or he would always get up early and pray for what the Lord had for him to do that day. So the way that we discover our purpose is through our relationship through prayer with God. We begin to discover that, right? And because Jesus knew his purpose, we talked about it, he always lived his life on purpose and in his purpose every single day. Every place that he went, every act that he performed was not by chance, was not by coincidence, wasn't an act of kindness or mercy, but purpose was involved. It was always motivated by purpose. There was a reason why Jesus went to a particular place. Amen. That he went to a particular place because that individual had a divine appointment with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So tell the person next to you, God has a purpose for my life. You know, you hear people say things like, and I've heard it, and maybe some of us said it, you know, we hear people say, I'm trying to find myself. You ever said that or heard somebody say that? I'm trying to find myself. I want to find my destiny. Oh, Lord, what is my calling? Oh, Lord, do I have a purpose, right? And think about those questions. These are all legitimate questions, right? That questions that we want to know. But it narrows down to one thing. Why am I here? Amen. You know, your job or your occupation does not define who you are. How many of you know that? Your job or your occupation does not define who you are or your purpose. You know, some people say, well, I'm a banker, I'm a bank teller, or I'm a contractor, or I'm a landscaper, or I'm a sales clerk. But that's not who you are. That's what you do. Amen. You're more than that, right? You're a child of God with a God-given purpose, right? And those things that you do does not define who you are or your purpose, what it is. Now, with that being said, you know, as I was preparing this message, I thought about the type of work that I did. And, you know, such as working in maintenance or engineering, and definitely learned a lot in that field. But what I enjoyed most about that job was being able to serve and use my gift in helping people. Amen. You know, I would be driving home from Kapalua, and if somebody was stranded on the side of the road and nobody stopped, I would stop and help them. Just that want to help without even knowing who the person was. Amen. That willingness to serve and help people. I remember years ago, I had a weight gym in my our garage. And thinking about how it would bless some of the young boys of teaching them how to weight train or bodybuild. You know, I thought about that, of helping, serving by helping people. I remember going to 7-Eleven one morning and came out of my truck and I saw this, I believe he was a homeless guy because he was sleeping right by the dumpster. I walked by, I saw him waking up and looked like brother just was recovering from a hangover. And I said, hey, you want a coffee? And he looked at me, he goes, oh no, bro, I need $2, I need $2. I said, what for? To catch the bus. I said, I ain't giving you $2, I'm going to buy you coffee, you know, because I know what you're going to do with the $2. Amen. I remember driving to work one day and I saw this guy hitchhiking and picked him up. And I said, all right, I'm going to witness to this guy. You know, once he gets in my truck, he's stuck, right? So he gets in the truck and we're heading down Honopi'i Lani Highway, heading to Lahaina. And I says, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to Oluwalu. I said, okay. So I started, you know, I had my praise and worship tape going and started to talk to him about Jesus. And man, I mean, he just clammed up. And he just had this stone cold look on his face. And he just looked straight. And everything I was saying, he didn't even respond, you know. 30 minutes. I just kept on going. And then finally I came to Oluwalu, stopped, dropped him off. I says, hey, do you want a sandwich? He goes, oh yeah, thank you. And I was thinking, oh, you speak, you know. But yeah, just a willingness to serve and help people. You know, I remember going to college and majored in police science, right? And my intent was if I become a policeman, then I would be able to help people. And it didn't work out that way. It didn't pan out that way. But looking to where I am now, it just shows me that God had a better way or better plan in helping people. Now we're pastors and helping people. Amen. So I believe that's my God-given gift in serving and helping people. Now you have to discover yours. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. We talked about how seasons have purpose, right? And knowing that God has created each one of us with a purpose, and not only created us with a purpose, but he also gifted us with the time to fulfill that purpose. Amen. But here's the thing. God doesn't allow things to happen in our lives without a reason. Because God controls everything that happens around our lives, right? Yet despite the different seasons that we go through, the challenges that we face, and haven't we gone through a season as a church, as a country, as a nation, right? So the different seasons or the different challenges that has happened or that we'll face or we'll go through, how many of you know that it's great to know that Jesus Christ is always the same yesterday and forever? Amen. Despite of all the things we go through, yeah? You know, we talked about, you know, I remember ministering a couple months ago that he's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that word always means at all times. Invariably forever, all times and on every occasion. Amen. We can count on the alwaysness of God, that he's always the same. That he always hears us when we pray, that he always answers us when we pray, that he's always faithful, that he always provides, right? He always finishes what he starts. That's the alwaysness of God. Amen. So how many of you know you can count on the great and comfort of the alwaysness of God? And we talked about defining the word purpose. And that word purpose is defined, it's the reason for which something exists. And that's the question is, why do I exist? What is my purpose, right? It is the reason for which something exists or is done, made, or used. We talked about what the purpose of that chair that you're sitting in. What is the purpose of that chair for? Right? What is the purpose of the AC that is on right now? Purpose is an anticipated outcome that is intended or guides your plan of action. Yeah. So in saying that, let's jump into part two, the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church. Now, when we talk about the church, how many of you know we need to understand that the church is not a building? Right? The church is not a building. The term church in the Bible was never meant to be a building. Although the church consists of people, believers, that meet in a building such as this. And it's a nice building. Amen? But the term church in the Greek word is ecclesia. Everybody say ecclesia. The word ek, E-K, meaning out from and into. That word ek. Ecclesia or kaleo, it's kind of funny because that's my grandson's name, Kaleo. But it comes from the word kaleo or ecclesia, meaning to call. So if you put that word ecclesia together, you can say it's the called out ones into. We're called out, but we're called into. So what does that mean? Well, we've been called out of the world, right? And into the kingdom of God. We've been called out from darkness, right? And into light. So there's a calling out, but a calling into. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "For God has delivered us," or rescued us, "from the kingdom of darkness. And he transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son." He transferred us, or he relocated us, into the kingdom of his dear son. There was a relocating from one kingdom to another. So before you knew Christ, whether you knew it or not, you were operating under the kingdom of darkness. Right? Just look at the deeds that we were doing before Christ. Right? We were serving the devil. But when we came into an understanding of Jesus Christ and we received him as our Lord and Savior, right, we changed kingdoms. We changed fathers, so to speak. And isn't the Father that we're serving so much better? Amen. Isn't living in the kingdom that we're living now is so much better? So, the term ecclesia is found 114 times in the New Testament. And it can be described in four different ways that we're going to talk about, which represents the church. First of all, the body of Christ is universal. What I mean, universal is worldwide. Amen. I remember when I first got saved and I met Christians from California. I mean, that was a big deal. I thought only Christians lived on Maui. But it's universal all over the world. Those who have received Christ is part of the church, despite of the denominations. But the common denominator is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Which makes up the church. Universal worldwide, and over which the church, the body of Christ, the Lord is the head over the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says, "God has put all things under the authority or rulership of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit or the advantage of the church." So check that out. God has put all things under him as the authority and rulership of Christ, but has also made him head over all things. Amen. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, right? In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Because he has authority both up and down and everything. For the benefit of the church. Because when you understand that benefit, guess where you are? You're part of that body. He's the head. So if the head is of authority above all things and other things, guess where you are? The same place. Can you see that? It's not the head over here and the body over here. Right? The church is not headless. It would be freaky if it was headless. But Jesus is the head over the body. And the head refers to his rulership, his leadership, his power. Amen. The head is what gives the body the direction of what to do. The brain, the CEO. I call Jesus the CEO of the church. Yeah. He's the head. Now, while every congregation has his own local leadership, right? While Jesus is the head, every congregation has its own leadership, which consists of the pastors, right? Ministers or the deacons, right? Under shepherds. But the ultimate leader or head of any church is the Lord. Amen. This is God's church. It's not my church. It's not Pastor Herman, Pastor Carol's church. This is the Lord's church, Jesus' church. Amen. And we are privileged to be part of the church, which is the body of Christ, right? Secondly, the church refers to God's people. You are God's people. You are bought, the Bible says you are bought with a price. You are not no longer of your own. We belong to him. Amen. Some people say, no, I belong to myself. No, you belong to him. Amen. So we are God's people, assembled in a strategic given location. Acts chapter 9, verse 31, you can write it down. It says, the church then had peace throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And how about we add Kahalui, right? And it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. So the church, or God's people, have been assembled. We have been assembled here in a strategic given location. As the local church, as the people of God, to be able to influence our community. Amen. Not the community influencing us, but we as the people of God influencing everybody, right? Yeah, with the message of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the church is referred as the local congregation or the local church. How many of you know God uses people just like you and I to fulfill his plan and his will? And the people that he used is the local church. Right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, I'm writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his holy people. He made you holy by the means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And lastly, number four, referring to the church, it can also signify a group of God's people assembled to build one another up. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, let us consider one another. Or we can put it this way, let us keep in mind of one another, the body of believers. Yeah, we consider ourselves who we are, but he's saying consider one another, you who make up the body, the local church. And he tells us why. He says, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, as so much more as you see the day approaching. And what day is approaching? What is he talking about? What day is that? Well, the coming of Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is, consider each other. Stir up each other. Encourage each other. Pray for one another. Call one another to good works. And don't neglect or slight that, you know, this is unimportant. Because Jesus is coming back. Amen. Right? Don't become complacent. Don't become weary. But encourage one another. Stir one another up. Right? Pray for one another. As the day is approaching. You know, because some people might say, you know what, well, I heard that so many years and Jesus hasn't come yet. Well, that's the same thing people said in the days of Noah. Right? They said the same thing. They were eating and drinking and marrying. And when God closed the ark, that was done. I mean, that was done. I mean, he gave them 500 years to turn things around in their lives. And you know, you have people saying, well, you know, that Jesus is coming back. Yeah, he's not coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for you. Amen. So we got to be prepared, right? Remember the message? Make sure you're ready. Make sure your candle is lit. You're dressed, right? Go to your business. Do whatever you do during the day. But make sure your oil is filled and your lamp is ready and your garment, you dress, you know, you're dressed and ready to go. Because we don't know the time of the day or the hour that he's coming back. But in saying that, you know, every prophetic that has been spoken about his return is pretty much done. Everything. As one preacher said, I mean, the table is set, the forks are in place. I mean, all I got to do is wait for the sound of the trumpet, and that's it. So he's saying, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Because Jesus is coming back. Amen. Be ready. And, you know, I came across this post. I think it was on Sister Julia. It was on your post. It was pretty interesting. I enjoyed it. I really don't read posts, but I saw yours and I read it. And it talks about, you talked about as church attendance numbers fade across the nation and online services become very convenient, who doesn't love not getting ready in the morning or leaving the home? It's important to remember why church attendance for you and for your family matters so much. You cannot serve from your sofa. You can't have community faith on your sofa. You can't experience the power of God, of a room full of believers worshiping together on your sofa. Now, I do know that, you know, there are family members who are taking precautions, who have underlining situations, which is fine, but I'm not talking to those. But I'm talking of those who can be in church and using the live streaming a reason not to be in church. You guys understand what I'm saying? I'm not making anybody feel guilty. Because my feelings is that when we had our service, we had to close down. Church was always in session. But when this pandemic hit and we had to shut down our services, for me, it was an eye-awakener of something that was taken away that close. And to get it back now to where we're having our services is not happening again. Amen. It's close. And some churches are still not being able to have services. Still, to this day, 7 months. And to not have that of being together, worshiping together, and experiencing those months, amen, it's not going to happen. So she goes on and she says that Christians are not consumers. We are contributors. We don't watch, we engage. We give, we sacrifice, we encourage, we do life together. We do team together. The church needs you, and you need the church. Amen. Whenever you find a local church where you and your family can be a part of a community and use your talents to advance the kingdom of God, to reach others, to come alongside one another physically, not just through a screen. Amen. Well, I'm grateful for technology to keep people connected. And that's what we did it originally, to keep people connected, our family connected. To keep people connected that can't physically be here in the facility or need to be away. It's absolutely not like being in the church building with each other. Yes, church on the sofa is nice, but it'll never be the same as church in the sanctuary. Amen. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
So we as the ecclesia, we who have been called out of the world, this world's the world, which is the world system or the world ideology or the behavior or the patterns or the custom of this world, we have been called out from that, right? And into the kingdom of God, which is the church is a living organism because God is a living God, right? He's alive. So the church is a living organism that is producing life. Life begets life, the life of God in this setting. You know, when we minister in the prison, we haven't been able to go in because of all this COVID thing, but the men and the women in there, they can distinguish when somebody comes in, they can distinguish what is life and what is not life. Yeah. One of the regulars who come to my service, he say, "Oh, chaplain, you know, the guy said church and, you know, they said, who let go church? So I said, hey, I let go, you know, because I'm hungry. So I went. But when I went, it wasn't you guys. It was on other church. And, chaplain, when I left, I felt more bad than when I went. I felt more worse when I went. So I says, all church is not the same. So what he was saying was, I was able to tell something that was life or not life. Yeah. So when you have the life of God, people will know that, you know, there's life in you, right? So as a community of committed believers that are filled with the life and the love of the Spirit of God, right? And what the Spirit of God does is he enlarges us, right? He makes us fruitful to thrive, to expand, and to be placed in a strategic location such as this to be a reflection of him through our community, assembled together as the church, as the body of Christ, his body. And the purpose is to glorify God, to glorify him, and to build and to equip believers, right? The fivefold ministry, right? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, right? Are here to equip the saints, to equip you. For what purpose? For the work of the ministry. Amen. Our job is to equip you, to put tools in your hands for the work of the ministry, and that we all come to the maturity of the Son of God. And I can say we're not there yet, right? But we're getting there. So the church is to glorify God, to equip believers, and to evangelize, to reap the great harvest that is before us by fulfilling the great commission of God. Amen. And that's why we have our community food outreach. It's a tool that we're using for evangelism. Amen. It's a tool that we're using for the harvest. Whether it's planting seeds in people's hearts by blessing them with food, being able to pray with them. Amen. We're doing our part in evangelizing our community. And all the different congregations are doing their part to evangelize this great harvest. We're all working together as the body of Christ. We might have different purposes, but the whole thing is about Him, right? Yeah, bringing people into the kingdom of God. Calling out families that, hey, you belong in this family. Stop serving the devil and start serving Jesus, right? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, for this purpose or intended reason, that the Son of God was manifested or revealed that he might destroy or undo the works of the devil. We shared that scripture last week. The purpose of Jesus was to reveal himself as God in the flesh. Amen. That he was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And that he came to restore man's relationship with God, Father God. And that he would destroy the works of the devil and bring us into the relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Think about that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can say that Jesus' ministry that he started has never changed or never stopped. Although he's at the right hand with the Father. But the ministry part never stopped, never changed. See, as the church, as the body of Christ, we are the continuators, if that's such a word. We are the continuators. We are commissioned and anointed with the power of God to continue the ministry here on this earth as his body. It never stopped. Because God works through his body. And this body, which is made up of ordinary people, just like you and I, who are willing and available to be used by God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, because as he is, I love this scripture, because as he is, so are we in this world. Tell the person next to you, tell them, as Jesus is today, so are you. Now, think about that. As Jesus is today, so are you. Where is he today? He's at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says that God has exalted him, right, in the highest place of honor. So where he is today, that's where you are right now. You got to ask the Holy Spirit for revelation on that. Well, Pastor, I'm sitting right here. Yes, you are. But But spiritually, by faith, you're sitting where he's sitting right this very moment. Think about how it'll change your prayer life, knowing where you're seated right now in Christ, right? You're in Christ, and Christ is in you, in that relationship that you have. You see, when God looks at Jesus as Jesus is, that's how God sees you. He sees you righteous. Not because of you, because of Jesus. In fact, when he looks at Jesus, he sees you. He says, hey, who's the real Jesus over here? Because you can be in him. So when God looks at Jesus, he sees you. Let's take a sailor right there, a pause, and think about that. When God looks at Jesus, and as Jesus is, that is how God sees you. He doesn't see you how you was. Amen. But he sees you how you is right now. To that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Some of you are going to get it when you get home. And I'm going to hear that shout from my house. Oh yeah, one of them just got it. Praise the Lord. And I'll shout with you too. Amen. Jump with my granddaughter. For you. You know, the Word of God declares that in that scripture that love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So as believers, think about this. As believers, we don't have to fear the day of judgment. And what the judgment he's talking about is the great white throne of judgment, where people are going to be judged. I mean, they have opportunity to receive Christ, but because they have not, they'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God. And they're already guilty because of rejecting Jesus. How many of you know you're not going to hell because you're a drug addict or you're an alcoholic, right? But people go to hell because they reject Jesus. So those who reject Jesus and doesn't accept him, they will stand before the great white throne of judgment seat. But those of us who receive Christ, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he will judge us for our works that we did here on this earth. Amen. So we don't have to be afraid of the judgment of God, because we have been forgiven of our sins. We've embraced the work of Calvary, the blood of Jesus did for us, right? So we are the body of Christ. We belong to him. We're God's people. So our sins have been judged at Calvary, and just as Jesus is, so are we. But notice what the word does not say. As Jesus was on the earth, so are we in this world. It doesn't say that. What it does say is, as Jesus is, as he is right now, so are we in this world. Amen. Now let me find a landing spot where the time just flew. Now when we talk about the book of Acts, right, the book of Acts is, we can call it a diary or a record of the New Testament church in its infancy state. It is the record of the operations or the acts of the Holy Ghost working through yielded vessels. The acts of the Holy Ghost working through, you know, some of your Bibles will say the acts of the apostles. In a sense, it's true, but it's actually the acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. And that's what God does when he works through each and every one of us, through the body of Christ. Right? The Bible says Moses knew, the people of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. There's a big difference. When you know how to, you know the ways of God, right? You know the methods, right? How to do something, how to move by the Spirit of God. But the book of Acts is a record of the operation or the acts of the Holy Ghost working through yielded vessels. The book of Acts is the pattern for the New Testament church to follow. And we see through the pattern of the new, the book of Acts, church, there was signs, wonders, miracles, and the gifts of the Spirit, which defined the characteristic of the New Testament church. That was the characteristics of signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. And just as the Lord spoke to us and gave us that word, that we were in a flow of the miraculous, just confirming the pattern of the New Testament church, the book of Acts. Amen. But when you read the book of Acts or the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles, you go, wow, wouldn't it be nice that our church would be like that? Amen. But it is patterned after that. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just got to press in as the body of Christ and believe God that, Lord, this is the things that were happening. We want these things for us as well. Amen. And we got to hunger and thirst for those things to occur in this setting as well. So let me repeat that again. The book of Acts is the pattern for the New Testament church to follow. Signs, wonders, miracles, and the gifts of the Spirit are the defining characteristics of the New Testament church. So in other words, to say it in another way, the New Testament church acted just like Jesus. Let me read that again. Maybe you didn't hear it. In other words, the New Testament church, which we are, acted just like Jesus. Praise God. And what I mean by that is they healed the sick, they cast out devils, they performed signs, wonders, and miracles, and raised the dead. So those are not unusual things. Those are normalcy with God in the New Testament church. Signs, wonders, miracles, and raised the dead and manifested the gifts of the Spirit all by the power of the Holy Spirit, the acts of the Holy Spirit through vessels such as you. And I believe that's something that you want to see, not only for your life, right, but for your family, for our community. How many of you can say, don't raise your hands, that I know someone who needs a miracle? I know of someone who needs a healing. Amen. I know of someone who has a need that money cannot provide for them, but it will take a supernatural God to intervene on their behalf. And just so happen you come along, the body of Christ, with a purpose, on purpose, in purpose. And just like Paul and Silas says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Amen. They encountered Jesus Christ because of you. They had an encounter with God because of you. Turn to the person next to you and say, somebody's waiting on you for their miracle. For real. And I believe some of you can testify to that. Whether it was receiving salvation, that's a miracle. Don't ever look down at somebody receiving Christ. They just received Christ. No, that's huge. I mean, if the angels celebrate when somebody comes home to Christ, I mean, there's a reason why it's important to God. Because when that person receives Christ and Christ becomes their Lord and Savior, guess what? It opens up their whole life in receiving the benefits that God has for them. Amen. They become a child of God. They become God's valued treasure. They become part of God's family, the church. Amen. He calls them out of darkness into his marvelous light. So if there's one thing that we as a church need today in our lives as a church and individually, well, maybe two things. I think one of two things is that the church needs is our minds to be renewed. Yeah, to the fact of the Word of God. You know, just by me talking about as he is, so are you, you have to renew your mind to know where you are in Christ and to see yourself as God sees you, position-wise and your authority. Amen. So in order to see that, our minds have to be renewed to that truth. That I'm no longer just a somebody, a nobody without a purpose. But I'm somebody in God's eyes. And God has called me to do great and wonderful things. Amen. And he seated me at the right hand of God. And this is where God says I am. And Lord, help me to see me. Help me to see me in that place. And that's what I mean about renewing our minds to the truth of God's word. That these mindsets that we have that blocks us from receiving what God says about us in our identity of who we are in Christ, our minds have to be renewed to that. And it takes a process. But begin to talk to yourself. This is how God sees me. Because we've had a lot of people telling us, you know, that's not who you are. You know, a lot of negative things. How many of you can say amen to that? So those are mindsets that we have, which has to be broken. And the Bible says, if you know the truth will what? Set you free. So the body of Christ needs our minds to be renewed. And secondly, what we need is a fresh anointing of God. Amen. A fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, the wind is blowing. There's a second wind coming. There's a fresh anointing coming. And therefore, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost to invade our lives, invade our services, right? We need a divine interruption. We need the Holy Ghost to show up and show himself strong, suddenly and supernaturally, just like he did in the upper room. How many of you know if he did it once, he'll do it again and again and again? Amen. So the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, that's who we are, right? We're called with a purpose to glorify God, to equip believers. Amen. To equip believers with the necessary tools that we need, spiritual tools that we need, and how to use those tools effectively, proficiently, and skillfully. How many of you can say, I'm more skillful now? Yeah. And I hear some of your prayers, and I can say, man, they're coming skillful. There's a boldness. The boldness comes when there's a surety of skill, of knowing who you are in Christ, and knowing where you're seated in Christ. There's an authority that comes with that boldness. Amen. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Amen. And lastly, God has called us to evangelize. The message of Jesus Christ, the message of hope, love, and faith, right, is not a message to be held and kept for ourselves, but it's a message to be preached and ministered into the world, our community. The Great Commission, what, is go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, Pastor, you mean I got to take my Bible and preach on the corner? No. Preach the gospel in the world that you live. The people that are associated with you, the people that you meet on a daily basis, whether it's your workplace, your neighbors, right? Your relatives, your families, that's your world. And if we're all doing what we're supposed to in our world, in our place, right? How do we get, if there's a million people, how do we get them saved? One at a time. So if we're doing our part in our world, one at a time, what a harvest. As the body of Christ, as the church. That's our mandate. We've been hearing a lot about mandates. Tired of mandates, their mandates. Get it? Mandate. That's man's date. I want his mandate, and that mandate is he has commissioned us. And that word commission was, we have a mission to do as the body of Christ together. And that mission is to reap in the harvest. There's not one of us here that knows about someone who needs Jesus. Amen. We all know of someone or someone's that needs the Lord. And God has given us that responsibility. You have a message. We all have a message. Amen. A message of love, faith, and hope. Jesus says, why say 4 months and then the harvest? He says, the harvest is white. It's ready. And you know, with this whole pandemic and crisis, I believe there's a lot of people who would give ear to the message of Jesus Christ. They need the message of hope. They need the message of love. Yeah. And you have that message. Oh, Pastor, you know, I don't know if I'm ready. No, you ready. Let me say, you ready. If you've been part of this church, you know, more than a year, you ready. And with that commission that Jesus gives us, he gives us the authority. He says, all authority has been given to me, both in heaven and earth. And so I give it to you. To that commission. So therefore, go. Somebody once says, God, three-fourths of God's name is go, right? So go. Go and do. Amen. And God will be with you. God will be with you when you go. And you do. Amen. You might be standing in the supermarket and God says, go and do. Yeah? Well, that neighbor next across the street, the grumpy one. All right? Go and do. So did that help you this morning, knowing the purpose of the church? You know, like I said, the purpose of the church, when we know what our purpose is individually, right? And when we know our purpose as a church, it keeps us focused. It doesn't allow us to be distracted. And there's been a lot of distractions. Amen. Focus on your purpose of what God has called you to do. See, when the Lord breaks up the books, and he begins to put all things into account, The bottom line is, he's just going to look, have you been faithful with what I've called you to do? Yeah. Have you been faithful with what I called you to do? Well, I did this, 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 this. No, no. Have you been faithful with what I called you to do? And that's all he's going to judge us by. Amen? So we need to be faithful with what God has called us to do. I remember when all this stuff broke out, you know, the Lord had to remind me, son, just focus on what I've called you to do. That's all. Preach my word and keep our people eyes on me. That's it. Never mind all about this stuff. Just preach the word and keep my people's eyes on me. That's it. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning and for clarifying our purpose and why we're here, not only individually, but as a corporate organism of life, of committed believers called the body of Christ, the church. We're grateful, Father, that we find our place, our purpose, in this setting called the church. As we grow to know you, Lord, we begin to understand all these things, these, quote, complicated things in the world, but nothing is complicated to you, Lord, because you're a God of order. You're a God of transparency. You reveal things to us as we press into you and we hunger for you in our relationship with you, Lord. So we're grateful, Lord, that we know what our purpose is. We know what the plan of God is and your purpose is for our lives individually, for our families, and for our churches as a whole. Father, we lift up every congregation on this island and this state. Father, we ask, Lord God, that, Lord, that you would strengthen the church, even in this hour. That, Lord, that they will press into the promises of God. That they will continue to hunger and thirst, Father, after you, and not be strayed to the right or to the left. And that they will commit themselves to the purpose that you've called them, Lord. You said, if my people who are called by my name, who will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. And Lord, we're joyful, Father. We stand up and say, we are your people. We are called by your name, Lord. We stand up in boldness to declare that we are the church, the body of Christ. And yes, we are light to this world. We are light to this world that is in darkness. And yes, we shine. We shine forth the light that is within us, the glory of God. We shine in our neighborhoods, our community, on our island, in our state. The light of God that is within, shine without. A beacon of hope to all that are lost without a Savior. And you have just strategically placed us here, Lord, as a church, as a congregation, to be that light, that salt to the earth. That's who we are. And we're not ashamed of it. And just as Christ was willing to lay down his life, so is the church willing to lay down its life. Sacrificially. Willing to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. To intercede on behalf of the downtrodden, the discouraged, those without hope. Thank you, Lord. And that we would embrace the commission that you've given to us, Lord, to go and to do and to share and to release. We thank you, Lord, that each and every one that is here this morning has been anointed by you, anointed, appointed, and commissioned for such a time as this. And to the one, I say to you, you do and can make a difference. Somebody said, I don't know if I can make a difference. I'm saying you can and will make a difference. You can. Because it'll be Him, the Holy Spirit, working through you, not you on your own, but it's the Holy Ghost empowering you to do what He called you to do. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we're grateful. We thank you. We call this family blessed. Blessed and highly favored of you, Lord, and empowered, strong, more than conquerors, more than able, victorious, seated at the right hand in power and authority. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And the people of God say,